Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Point Forward podcast. We are out of hibernation. We are back in the world. The Milwaukee Bucks are a week away from starting the 2025-26 season. Giannis is back, despite maybe some buzzes to the contrary, some rumors to the contrary, which we're going to discuss. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined by Jim Ozarski. He is the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Bucks have played a series of preseason games. As we record this, they just lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder on October 14th. The big season, the regular season, begins October 22nd. Pfizer Forum, Washington Wizards will be in town. And Jim, it has been a hot minute. How are you? We haven't talked in so long. I hope things are well.
Yeah, I mean, my standard off-season joke, JR, is this is the eighth straight off-season in which Giannis was not traded.
yes.
So, you know, he is with the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, I'm good. It's, you know, things are, you know, the preseason's over. They played four games, went 3-1. They've got a week off between hosting Chris Middleton and the Washington Wizards.
That's right.
On October 22nd, Chris's homecoming. So, it's long off season when they're done in May, JR. So they did a lot. You know, John Horst reimagined this whole roster. And, we've seen some vision outlines, I guess, of the vision that John Horst and Doc Rivers has had through four games. So, pretty interesting so far. We'll see how it translates. But definitely some guys have popped. The offense looks interesting. Defense looks eh. And, honestly, JR, first time since I've been on the beat, I don't know what the ceiling is of this team. Mm-hmm. And the floor might be in the basement, which is the worst it's probably been since 18. So, I mean, there's a wide variance here of what this team could be.
Oh, wow. That's we're going to discuss that. I want to get your thoughts on that stuff in greater depth. Do you think they're going to surprise us and hang Chris Middleton's 22 from the rafters when he visits on opening night? Is there any chance of that, Jim? You know, I love my retired numbers.
I don't think you can retire numbers for guys who are still playing.
I would do it.
I don't think so. So, I think that's going to be a wait for you.
It's a wait. I understand. I am a patient man. Got to see when the Clippers are in town to see if Brook Lopez's number will be hung during his return visit. Giannis is always the top storyline of the offseason. That is still the case here. This year, there was so much shams. Charania, I don't want to say his name wrong, but like that man loves to talk about it. He was becoming a focal point himself of Bucks, Bucks fan observations over the offseason. Constantly reporting about, you know, basically continuing to resurrect the idea that there have been trade discussions. There is a possibility Giannis is not settled on his future in Milwaukee. And I don't know if we really got that indication from the player himself that there was ever a risk, or from the team itself that there were ever serious conversations. You had reported on the rumors that they had been discussing things with the Knicks. And I mean, I don't want to oversimplify your reporting, but it's sure kind of, I think the bottom line was, I mean, they like maybe had a few words exchanged, but it wasn't anything serious. So what I kind of want to know from you, Jim, is just what is going on here? Why does this keep coming up? What is real? What is possible? He would be due to sign another extension with this team next offseason. I know you've said in the past you figured that was going to happen, that he was just going to get to that point, sign the extension, and maybe give us another, I don't know, 36 hours of people not speculating where he goes after he is done with that extension. He's in his 30s now. The clock is kind of ticking in terms of, I mean, I don't want to say when he's still a desirable commodity. He is one of the best players in the NBA still and will be for the foreseeable future. But what is real here? Is there really a threat or possibility that Giannis would want out, that the team would move on? You know, we've heard about his family moving to Greece, his wife and kids moving to Greece. And I know a lot of people were kind of freaking out about that. What should we be thinking? What should we really be focused on? And what is the long-term prognosis of Giannis staying in Milwaukee? I guess like we could always check in on it, but now is a good time, I guess, to check in again.
Yeah. I mean, so let's get the big fact out of the way, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo is on the Bucks currently for the 25-26 season. So regardless of whatever the summer was about, as he said, it's temptation from end of season to start. And that has been the case, JR, literally for 8 years. Like, we broke it down dating back to 2018. So the simple fact is he's a Milwaukee Buck. What's real is, again, he does this every offseason. As he said on Media Day, yeah, the reports are true every summer, guys. I say this every summer. I want to win a championship. I evaluate my place on the team, the team's place in the league or in the East. And, you know, I kind of decide where we're at. That has been the case at least for seven seasons, yeah, or seven calendar years. So that's real. Giannis participates in this in whatever fashion that means. Like, we, when he speaks, he says, I want to win another title. Now, what generally is lost, JR, is the national, global, and basketball construct takes that to mean away from Milwaukee. Like, he wants to win another one here currently, or somewhere. And so, you know, he's here. Like, he's playing with the Bucks this year because he feels they have some semblance of a chance in the East to compete. So his dalliances, his temptation, whatever you want to call it, is a real thing. He literally says it. Now, in the summer, you know, he doesn't really do media in the off seasons, JR. He typically does one interview on the record, on camera, every summer. Typically, it's a major publication of some kind. This year, he played Eurobasket, so it was a sit-down on camera with our friend Harris Stavro at Sport 24 in Greece. And typically, he reaffirms all this stuff, says all this stuff. Reports, look, I'm not going to out anybody. Sources, look, there's only three people involved in these conversations, you know, if there's two teams and a player. And so, you can guess where stuff comes from at this point. Readers and listeners are pretty savvy. And so it's pressures applied. And, you know, John Horst and the Bucks have responded every time since 2018, JR, right? There's been new coaches. There have been new players. Draft picks have been traded. Weird salary cap moves have been made, right? And the fact of the matter is that happens. And then the next fact is Giannis has stayed in Milwaukee. So in terms of going forward, yeah, JR, I will say the thing that's different about this season and this coming summer is, you know, in the past, Giannis's age fit the ascent of the team, right? Giannis, Chris, maybe Drew was a little older, Brooke was a little older, but like they were all, Bledsoe, let's go back to 18 with Bud, right? They were all sort of ascending together. Giannis is now 30, will be 31. Kevin Porter Jr. is 25. AJ Green's 24. Gary Trent's 26. So he's on the timeline of Miles Turner and Bobby Portis, and everyone else is now younger and unknown or unproven in clutch situations. And so, you know, I mentioned the ceiling. Look, JR, how many pods did we do after the title where I'm like, well, if they're healthy, the ceiling is the finals, or even, right? And the floor was, well, if Giannis misses 15 games, Dame is there, Chris is there, Brooke is there, you know, they're going to win most of those games without Giannis, right? This year, I don't know the floor. They're changing their play style. I don't know if Gary Trent and AJ Green and Kevin Porter are going to be good enough to weather 15 to 17 missed games of Giannis. I don't know what the ceiling is. You know, the East is wobbly. I could see a high seed. And that's where this is important, because I will say, JR, at 31, when the year ends for Giannis, if they are, let's say, a 44-win team in the sixth seed and losing the first round, that's five straight years of being worse. And he'll have 1 year left on his deal with an option. And at that point, JR, like, even ownership, like, who could blame anyone to be like, what are we doing here? Like, this is five straight years of like diminishing results and getting worse. Now, if they are the four seed and they do a Pacers thing where, you know, they make the conference finals or finals, yeah, then all of a sudden they're now back on the ascent, right? And now we know about those young guys and Giannis knows about them. And yeah, like John will do another big move in the summer because he'll be positioned to. We'll hear the drumbeat again. Giannis wants this or he wants to win. And, you know, he's going to evaluate it because that's, again, what he does every summer. So we will hear that again. I'm telling you, Bucks fans, like, you're going to get it unless they win it all. And even then, JR, and after 21, he did put pressure on the team after 21, by the way, even when they won the thing. So you're going to get it again. But I would say the likelihood, JR, then is another extension in October because they're beyond the ascent. They could pay him the most. John will have made another move. So, yeah, I know that's a long way to get to answer, but it's a little more nuanced this summer, JR, I think, than in the past because the variance of the team is so big. You know, look, if they start slow, the drumbeat will start. The math of it is he's not going to get traded in season. It's really, really hard to move a $54 million player in the season and get value. So it'll start up, it'll drumbeat, all that stuff. We'll read about it. We'll hear about it. So it's in their best interest to start fast. But I think really, you know, how they end the season in the playoffs is really going to inform us, you know, and truly his future, because again, JR, you know, if they're 42 win team, I mean, I think it's fair for everyone involved to just say, this hasn't worked for 5 years. Like what needs to change?
Yeah. And this is to put a finer point on it. This is the first year that where you could say something, I don't know what their floor is. You know, we're never talking about their floor. Their floor is they make the playoffs. So right. The idea that they could not make the playoffs this year, that it's not a done deal, is new. I think, though, to ponder a little bit more, though, sort of the reporting, when you say, you know, like he's possibly this is a sign that Giannis continues to put pressure on them to maintain their trajectory toward winning and the moves that they have to make. I guess I look at that and think the majority of those moves are made very early on in free agency. They bring in Miles Turner in this case. And then it's just, what else is there? Because it, you know, the reports that you're getting from Shams and others are coming after that. You know, they're coming at points and they signed, you know, they signed Thanasis, they signed Alex, his younger brother, to a two-way contract. So I don't know if those figure into this equation as well. If what's happening is somebody from Giannis's team is reaching out to Shams or someone else and, you know, saying, well, I'm not quite sure if I like the direction. And then those are the moves that get made. But like those, you know, even if you're cynical about those moves, they're fringe roster decisions. They're not changing the trajectory of this team. So what else would the team be on the hook for? What else would he be demanding or anyone be demanding to try to alter the course of this team? Because they've already made all those moves.
Yeah. Look, I mean, only he can answer that. And honestly, knowing Giannis, he's not going to name check players because it turns into a, well, you wanted that guy over the guy I'm currently in the locker room with, right? So who knows? I don't know. I mean, I remember all of the reporting after he signed the Supermax in 2020, JR, that he had met with ownership, then Mark Lazary and Wes Edens, and did talk about players to go get. You know, Bogdan Bogdanovich, for instance, was in that mix, right? And we know what happened there, and the team had to pivot and went to, and got Drew as well and signed Bobby Portis and Bryn Forbes. And, you know, that worked out. Right. But so I'm sure there are players that he likes and feels the team could or should get. I don't know. That's usually how that stuff works behind the scenes. You know, John Horst has been pretty clear with like, hey, they've done pretty much, they did all they could do this summer. By waiving and stretching Damian Lillard, becoming a cap space team, signing the best free agent on the market, you know, bringing back a group of guys in Trent, Porter, Bobby Portis, you know, that we saw in game five in Indiana, JR, last year, where, let's be real, like, I think if Doc Rivers would have started that group in game one, I wonder if the Bucks at least make it to the second round, right? Mm-hmm. Even with the Dame stuff, you know, before he tore his Achilles. So I think, look, we talked to him after the game against Oklahoma City. He was really happy with the style of play. He's like, we are playing like the best teams now. Not ISO heavy, a lot of ball movement, a lot of back cutting, a ton of threes. And he name checked Boston, OKC, Indiana, and these high level teams these last couple of years. He's like, we're getting away from that. So I think that's part of the question of what does he want? He wants to be competitive, JR. And let's be real, man. Like, how many second round, third round series has Giannis played, JR, in his career? Like, they went to the conference finals in 19, an NBA final, but they've been a first round and out or second round and out the bulk of his career. I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. Like, they just haven't been healthy in the playoffs. I think the, you know, a pandemic is not bad luck, but like the bubble was bad luck. They, you know, with could have been a historically great all time team. That was, you know, they were kind of robbed, right, of that playoff. So I think he just wants a chance to play on the biggest stage and perform. And if you get beat, you get beat. You know, like the second round against Boston, game seven and 22, JR, they got beat.
Right.
And I think there's an element of him that can, like, live with that. But they haven't even really been in it for most of his career here. And so that's what he wants. And, like, you know, the team has tried and it hasn't worked. So it's really hard to pinpoint that stuff. Yeah, you mentioned the other moves, you know, Thanasis signing and Alex being signed to a two-way or about to be. And, you know, look, other teams are going to do that. The Knicks employed Jalen Brunson's father for years, right? Like, we don't need to relitigate that stuff that things happen for players of this caliber. So, yeah, it's not one thing, JR. It's the end result, and that hasn't been there. And yeah, you're right, Jerry. He's gonna be 31, man. Like, you know, he's still playing at high levels. Stars nowadays play at high levels for much longer. But, you know, he's no dummy. You know, like, he knows this is the window of the star carrying his team is probably up until age 35. And then, you know, guys win titles after 35, but they're maybe not the factor, right? Or the reason. And, you know, if he signs another extent, this next extension is going to carry him through that window, JR. So I know it's a long kind of answer to say it's a lot of things, but the main thing is the end result. And the Bucks just haven't gotten there and haven't been there the most of his career here. And so that's what it's about. And we'll see if this team can maybe surprise a little bit and be that Pacers. I hate to compare, but that's what it is. Be that Pacers style team. You know, I don't know if this team's winning 63 games like they did in 18 or 65, whatever it was, and with Bud and that reimagined group that just blew the league away. I don't think that's what they're going to be doing, but, you know, you see the framework of a team that might win a lot more than the odds makers or national folks might think.
I don't think anybody's winning 63 games, and that's why this is such a unique season with Boston and Indiana so decimated by injury, and in Boston's case, some roster stuff. Like, there's just no team that's going to fly away with this thing. It's a little like the NFL. Are there any good teams in the Eastern Conference? You know, like, there's an opportunity there. There's a big time opportunity there. But you said something that I want to go back to. You mentioned that it would help if they started out fast, rather than, you know, let the drumbeat get louder if they start out slow. But also, Giannis isn't going to be traded midseason. So because, you know, I love the worst case scenarios, let's play that out. If they do start really slow and it does not look like we're on a trajectory where the Bucks are a playoff team, what happens? What are the, you know, what are sort of the next events and If it doesn't involve Giannis, who does it involve?
So I think there's two things. And look, I mean, the first, you got to go with the head coach, right? Like you don't fire this pro sports. You don't fire the players. You might, like they fired Chris Middleton last year.
they sure
but,
did.
You know, but we'll get to the trade deadline. So I think if it's a slow start and look, I don't think the Bucks are ready to play coming out of camp last year, JR. I'll just say it, man. Like 2-8, 6 in a row. You're losing to Chicago and Brooklyn. And yeah, look, they had tough games like New York, Boston, Cleveland were all front loaded. We saw what happened. They were winless against those teams. You know, the Cavs won 15 straight. Like, I get it, right? Boston won 60 games. I get it. But, you know, you had Dame and Giannis and Brooke, and yeah, Chris wasn't ready, but, you know, I don't think the Bucks were ready, you know? And so if you're looking at a similar type start, you know, Doc's got this year and next. How do you, you know, not, I don't want to say blame the coach, but that's generally what happens. I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I'm not, it's not a report, but I like it. Just like it's history of pro sports here. And so I think that might be on the table. You know, the Bucks have changed head coaches quite a bit, JR. Since 2017.
I've noticed.
So, you know, ownership's not afraid of that type of thing. You know, if they're kind of middling through some ups and downs, some growing pains, which honestly they should have, you would think. And we're getting to the trade deadline. I think it may force John Horst's hand with the upcoming first round picks. I think he would really like to wait to the summer, JR, where I think maybe some of our listeners or you know watchers here can hit us up in the comments. But offhand, JR, I don't know. A couple of them open up down the line. Like they've got 31, 32, 33 might open up in the summer. And so if you're middling and you're like, man, like we need something and whatever that something is, I do think Kuzma and his salary is probably on the table. Like they don't, they're kind of, this is not like the past, JR. They got Giannis, Miles Turner, who you're not going to trade, and then Kyle Kuzma, and then it's Bobby. And then you've got like really like a lot of minimum kind of guys. Torian Prince waived his implicit no trade clause, but like, you know, some of these 1 year deals, just to remind everyone back in the Jay Crowder, Serge Ibaka, Wesley Matthews days, like one of the protections for veteran minimums, JR, is they get a implied no trade clause. Doesn't mean they can't be traded, but it means they got to agree to it. And these guys generally come here to win. And so other than Torian who waived it and now he could be dealt, without his permission, you know, you don't have a ton of like, you know, big salary. So that those first round picks are going to have to come into play. And I think at the deadline, look, once you trade Chris in season, JR, I mean, who's not on the table. Right. So, I think that would be the next domino is, you know, what's happening? How does it look? Why does it look that way? And then does John strike a little earlier than February? You know, we'll see. So I think if it doesn't start well, I think the heat gets turned up on the coaching staff and then a little bit on the front office with, okay, do these picks need to come into play much, much sooner than they'd like? Because honestly, JR, their dream scenario is 3-4 seed. Well, of course, they'd like to win the East. Okay. 3-4 seed, home court to start, you know, push a second round, depending what the matchup is, conference final maybe. And then John is locked and loaded with cap space and picks to add like an all-star, you know, to this roster again in the summer. So, but yeah, I think that's what's on the table. Trading Giannis is just not, you're not, I mean, I guess anything possible, JR, but like the team he's going to probably isn't going to win then. Because they're trading everybody, right? In February, like that doesn't work. And so, you know, what it is, it becomes noise. And you know, it was loud after 2-8 I can't imagine what it would be again this year if it's a similar type start.
After seeing the Luka trade, I guess nothing is fully off the table in the middle of a season. But
that's always going to be the thing, JR. Yeah, I feel like that is such a man. I don't know. All time. I don't know.
Yeah. But now the template exists, you know, now it has happened and you can, you have something to point to. Okay. So this could dovetail into more Giannis discussion on the floor if you'd like, but I really want to get a sense. You've seen these preseason games, preseason season is over. What sticks out? What are maybe like three things that really caught your attention for good or for bad? AJ Green breakout season is top of mind for me. Is Kyle Kuzma a contributor? I mean, he should be, of course, given his contract and his prominence, but like we did not see that last year. So maybe those are the storylines you want to follow, but give me a couple things that really jump out at you.
Yeah. So they are running. They are moving at a faster pace, and that doesn't mean constant up, down. I mean, it's ball movement. Miles Turner, JR, it's so fascinating. Even though I've covered 20 something Bucks Pacers game in the last 3 years, as a beat writer for one team, like, you know, all the other players, you kind of see what they do, but like my focus is not on him individually, so to speak. So his movement is fascinating. And what he can bring to this offense, JR, and you and I are going to have plenty of pods where they lose a few in a row or 3 out of 5 because they went like 8 for 40 from the 3-point line. And you're going to be like, oh, they shoot too many threes. Why don't they like go to the bat? Like, we're going back to those Bud games, JR, back in 20, where, you know, they put up so many threes and they're going to lose because there's going to be some nights where those don't go in. But that's what the NBA is right now. And they're putting them up. AJ Green's confidence. I know he's been a confident player, but it looks different. And he even said, he's like, you know, he's not wondering about his role. He's not wondering about doing the right thing on either end. It's shoot it. And they are putting them up. And Kevin Porter Jr. is creating stuff, you know, threes by driving to the basket, JR. So I'm going to say the things that stand out are they're doing the thing on offense, right? They talked about it all summer. They talked about it all camp. We've seen it on the court in these sort of limited settings. Giannis missed 2 games. Miles Turner missed the game. So that's interesting. That's positive. You know, I think individually, you know, I think Green, yes, breakout season. He's a guy who undrafted, never started. He might start 50 games, but he's going to play 28, 30. You know, he's going to play a bunch of minutes. So I think that's an easy breakout, JR. Porter is really fascinating because we've said this last year. The Bucks haven't had a guard that can – so, like, Dame was different. Dame could get his shot, but at 32, 33, you know, he was more of a three-point threat, you know, the explosiveness, the dunking. Like, he was a slam dunk contest guy back when he first got in the league. That right. really wasn't part of his game anymore, right? Porter is 6'5". No, he's 6'6". He's correcting me. He's 6'6". So a big guard that can – create a shot for himself. He's getting into the lane and swinging out corner threes. That's really interesting, JR. Like, if he's bought in to that, and that's winning basketball. Like, he's still a young guy. Like, he lost $86 million 3 years ago, JR. Like, if he's bought into this style of play where he might average 15 or 12, but they win a bunch and he has like 7 assists, like that could be huge. And then the games where Giannis doesn't play, maybe he averages 22, maybe there's that 40 burger in there. He looks interesting. And I think Kuzma off that, JR, look, man, if he signed a big deal in Washington, he thought he was going to be a franchise player and a star. If he's off the bench, he's got to buy into that. And if he buys into it and it works, that could be good for all involved. So that'll be interesting to watch. Even Doc said, look, he's like, in camp we're bought in. But look, Doc was honest. He's like, look, we've named starting lineups and then buy-in changes. So even Doc, I think, now he's not talking about Kyle specifically, but he's talking about, like, generally speaking, role buy-in. And this is a role-playing team, JR. Like, they're, Giannis said this. He's like, if we win, it's because the team wins. You know, we don't have those individual stars anymore to kind of get stuff done. And that's the mystery. That could be bad. It could be really good. And then the one, I guess, negative we'll say, JR, right now is the defense has been meh. Doc Rivers called it average at best and said that's a coaching point this week before the regular season. Kevin Porter kind of grinned a little bit, and he's like, ah, it's the preseason. We got the talent up there. And that's true, but, like, you know, they've given up a lot of points. Like, they've scored a lot, JR, but they've given up a lot of points. And so you've got Miles Turner, who led the league in blocks twice. You've got Giannis, who's been a DPOY, and maybe he's not an all-defensive team player anymore, but, you know, that's still in him, JR. So I think we'll have to see if this team can defend enough to win on the nights where those threes aren't going down. That's an unknown. But I do think if you're going to shoot 43s, JR, and you've got Giannis to close games, that's a recipe to win on offense. And so I think those are three kind of things that stood out to me in this preseason.
Miles Turner has been in the city. He has been trying to steal Bobby Portis's mantle as the favorite son of this team. He's at Brewers games. He's at Packers games. He's out and about asking for food recommendations. Love to see
Holler,
that.
I think
Apple Holler. I didn't see that. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Apple Holler has always struck me as, like, that is a Sunday thing to do. That is a thing. The strange things people do on Sundays often includes things like Apple Holler. But good for him. I'm glad he's out and about. What does he do? You mentioned the fluidity with which he moves, and obviously that's a big part of it. And the defense is has kind of spoken for itself. Is he a guy who is going to fundamentally change how this team plays? Is he just an additive piece? Is he, you know, like a 10-10 guy, a double double guy? That's but really more about defense. Like, how would you describe what he's going to do for this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a big reason why they've changed, JR. You can't. Look, we all love Brooke, but, you know, he wasn't running around like this. Like, he was a floor spacer, but his floor spacing was pop out to 28 to 30 feet. You know, he had that range, but that was really it. Miles, I mean, Doc said they ran a pin down. Miles Turner runs to a corner to catch and shoot a three. Like, and the five, the big for the Bulls is like, what do I do here? Because there's Giannis coming down the lane, like the other centers over here in the corner shooting threes. So his, and then Miles also, then that's the shooting aspect, but Miles with that Indiana blood, you know, he'll set a screen and then he'll run right to the next screen and he'll run to the other side. Like, he's, so he has fundamentally changed his team. And helped create this. And Giannis said this after the Oklahoma City game. He goes, you know, Miles maybe doesn't know that he's bringing a winning culture to the Bucks or to these younger Bucks players. Because frankly, JR, other than Giannis, Bobby, Thanasis, no one's won a title, right? This team's totally turned over. Porter played his first playoff series. Green, effectively was his first high leverage playoff series, right? Like Ryan Rollins, you know, Kuzma played on that title team, but it was the bubble, right, for the Lakers. So that was different. You know, so Miles is out there talking and bringing, you know, imploring guys to move and to run and to think where to go. So yeah, I think his movement, and then even defensively, like, Brooke was a drop center. That was his strength. Miles says, I am not a drop center. That is not, like, I'll block shots, but it's not going to look like that. And so, you know, he's going to require some help because he's going to get out and switch and maybe blitz a pick and roll, which means you got to be good, right, on that backside. So stats-wise, Jared, it's hard to say. Like, he had 19 points on 5 of 8 shooting against the Bulls. Is he going to make 5 of 8 threes every night? Probably not. But I, you know, I think he admitted, he's like, look, Giannis makes me so open. And that's what every new player says here, JR, right? Every new player. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm this wide open, you know? And he even says, like, I just have to shoot it. He's like, I turned down a couple shots against the Bulls because it's just not something he did in Indiana. And so, you know, I think there's a borderline all-star season for him. I don't think he's going to score 24 a game, but like, let's say it goes well. You know, I know you're the doomer, but like if it goes well and they are the 3 seed or the 2 seed through December, you know, they're looking at a second all-star, and Miles Turner is the one with the track record, right? The voting people know. And if they are playing that well, Turner could be 19, 8, and 2.5 blocks, and or maybe it's Porter, right? Who's 18.5 and 6.5 type of thing. So, but yeah, Turner is a huge, huge addition and really fundamental to, you know, how they're going to play or why they're going to play the way they're going to play this year.
Do we have any roster back? Because there's 19 guys on the Bucks roster. 3 of them would obviously be two-way guys. What am I missing here? Are we settled on the Bucks roster? Yeah. Is there still something to watch?
I mean, as we record this year, I mean, look, there could be, you know, I don't think they've made a move just yet. As we record this, you're right. Well, let's talk about the 15 guaranteed contracts. They have 15. Andre Jackson Jr. is owed $800,000 regardless, but his full contract of like 2.2 becomes guaranteed effectively October 20th if he makes the team. You know, that's the cut down day for 15. And then you got Amir Coffey, a veteran who 6 years in the league, signed a non-guaranteed camp deal. So if either Andre or Amir make the team, that means someone is getting waived who currently has a guaranteed contract. So, Doc, I've written about this twice now, JR, after games in Chicago and Oklahoma City, Doc Rivers has casually mentioned Amir Coffey as a potential starting small forward for bigger lineups. I don't know if he's gassing his guy up, you know, and just putting it out there for other teams to pay attention. I don't know if he really believes that. If he has, Amir has not played with any starters in the preseason. He's played some deep bench rotations. You know, so yeah, like that 15th spot, like in terms of the guaranteed, you know, something's happening there. I don't think it's going to be Andre, JR. Like, he started 43 games last year. And as soon as Kevin Porter was acquired, he was pinned to the bench. He's been deep, kind of 11th, 12th guy here in the preseason. Actions over words there. Like, I just – he hasn't played enough. Who would be cut? Like, if Amir makes a team, you're looking at one of the young guys maybe. You know, they already waived Chris Livingston back in the summer to make room for Miles Turner. They re-signed him, which I thought was interesting. I don't know who was rushing out to sign Chris Livingston. Like, he's still a promising young player to a degree. You know, I think what's important for Bucks fans is they do have enough cap space where, you know, if they waive one of those guys, you know, they can absorb that. It's not really that big a deal financially. So, yeah, there's some back-end stuff there. But, I mean, I think really what would be interesting, JR, is if Doc is, like, being serious that Kuzma, Coffey, or Prince could start at the 3 for like bigger lineups. Mm-hmm. That'd be really interesting because we just didn't see that really in the preseason, at least where Coffey's concerned.
Is there a chance that Kevin Porter is the second best player on this team when it's all said and done? I feel like he's like an agent of chaos, maybe in more ways than one. Like, he's an element they haven't had before. And if the best version of him shows up, he's a legitimate difference maker. More likely, he'll, you know, just kind of play a role. But I don't know. Am I crazy to even float that?
No, not at all. I mean, his we talking about ceilings at the start of this for the team, JR. I think now, granted, a lot of times when you're looking at a 6th year guy, 25 years old, I'm one of these observers who tends to say, like, you kind of are who you are, right? As an NBA player, you've been in the league long enough. But I will say this, he got better in certain ways from the trade deadline to game five of the playoffs. I thought his decision-making improved. His mid-range shot was incredible last year. We thought, when is this going to, like, you know, go back to the mean or the median? And it never did. You know, I think there's more there for Kevin. He's insanely talented offensively. You know, on the defensive end, I think that improved last year too, JR. Like, he was kind of a gambler, you know, looking for steals, hunting steals, and you know, he stopped doing that at the end of last year. So if he's still, like, locked in defensively, that could be really good. So, no, I don't think you're out of line thinking he could be the second best player, because someone's got to score, right? And he might be a guy that could create some stuff and do some stuff. I don't know what those averages are, but I think so. You could get to the playoffs and be like, hey, Kevin Porter Jr. is, like, the second best player on the Bucks. And that's no disrespect to Miles Turner. It's just Kevin plays maybe a more, like, premier position, and might lend itself to more sort of, like, you know, bigger scoring games, or like a 12 point, 10 assist, you know, 7 rebound game. You know what I mean? So I think, like, Kevin, yeah, for sure, has, of all the guys, he can give you all of that. Whereas, like, AJ Green's going to score 22 points in a game because he hit 6 threes, and same thing with Gary Trent, right? And Torian Prince is going to have a 12 point game because he had 3 threes, that kind of thing. I think Kevin's your maybe wild card there, JR, with, like, what could be, his variance might be really high.
All right, we opened with Giannis. Let's close with Giannis. I mentioned this earlier, but one of the things that people have latched onto is that his family has moved to Greece. And I don't actually know how true that is. I've seen it floated that, you know, his wife Mariah and their kids are attending school in Athens. And I mean, if I had to choose between Athens and Milwaukee, I love Milwaukee, but you know what? I would consider my options on that one. So I get that. But, like, is that, if that is true, first of all, is there anything we should read into that? Is that, you know, Giannis is such a family forward guy. We've heard all, you know, of course, all this, you know, part of his mythos is that, you know, the story of bringing his family here was so important to him and how amazing that is. And so that's an interesting development. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I can't make anything of it, JR. Like, I don't mean to deflect, but neither of them have addressed that. And
right.
I don't know. I read what you read. You know, we'll see. I do know, all I'll say is, you know, Giannis did say, I mentioned the Harris Stavro interview in Greece. He did mention, you know, the kids were, you know, learning Greek or whatever. And
yeah,
look, they're all in that age. So again, I don't know what that means. So I hate to deflect there. I just don't know. Until one of them says that's the case, I don't know. But even if, put it this way, JR, I don't know where all the families of these guys live. Most of the time, like, I've gone, loyal readers know, I've gone to Los Angeles, South Carolina. Bobby has talked about Little Rock. Like, I mean, we kind of know where guys are from. Like, Kevin Porter talked about going home this summer and did some youth camps in Houston. No one really cares where they are.
No, that's
so I
true.
Don't really know what it matters. So I guess unless they bring it up in some way, we'll find out. But yeah, I don't know, because they just haven't talked about it and haven't volunteered it. So I guess we'll find out. But I you're right, though. Like, family is important, always has been, but I know it is for a lot of guys. So I guess we'll just kind of see where that goes or doesn't.
He is Jim Ozarski. Read everything he has at jsonline.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Any last thoughts, Jim? Anything that we have not discussed?
You know, I think you mentioned the East. Well, we started with, like, low floor, high ceiling, maybe, for this Bucks team. and nothing happens in a vacuum, right? And I think the East is truly up for grabs. And even the Cavs, while I put respect on their name, like they're going to be without Darius Garland and Max Strus, two out of their five starters to begin the year. That's going to be a little difficult, you would think, two of five starters gone. And the Bucks get the Cavs early twice. Like, it was a bad thing last year. Maybe it'll be a good thing this year. The Bucks get the Knicks twice again early, right? And while the Knicks bring everyone back, they do have a new head coach. Who knows what they're doing? I don't know. What does that look like early? And so maybe that's good for the Bucks again. And what I will say is I think they are better set up for these try-hard young teams that when it's over, JR, we're going to look at them in the lottery. But early in the year, they're all trying real hard. They all want to win. They all want to play well. So that Washington game, yeah, Chris is going to try to do Chris, but that's a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds running around with their hair on fire. Like, that was a bad recipe for the Bucks last year. You know, Toronto has Brandon Ingram, former All-Star, but for the Scotty Barnes, like, that was a team that was bad for the Bucks last year. They get them early. Like, they get the Bulls again early, running around, right? Like, so I think they're better equipped to handle that, like, those young teams early, and then you've got Cleveland and New York early. There's a stretch, JR, where you're going to have the Warriors early, right? They're coming to Milwaukee, which is a good thing, but you would think Jimmy and Steph and Al Horford, all those old guys, Draymond, will have good legs, right? Second week of the season. Guess what? Even with Jimmy, they run around, right? Like, and so you're going to see some litmus tests very early on. A lot of those games are at home. You know, I think they're set up better to win those games. Wins the ones they should. Maybe steal one if you think there's better chemistry with the Warriors or Knicks, right? That's what I'm looking for. I know we might pot again before, but I think overall, I do think the construct of the team, JR, is more modern. John Horace talked about this. We have a story up about this roster. It's sort of a modernized roster. Excuse me. We'll see it play out, but I do think they've moved into a direction, JR, where most teams are going, and they've got the talent offensively to do it. So, I guess that's kind of what I'm looking for, is to see, you know, how it plays out. But I do think the concepts are right. And we're just going to see how, you know, they come into play.
I mean, if the floor is the basement, they can't afford to lose those games to those lesser teams, because they might need those games to get into the playoffs. That's not something previous seasons we talked about. Well, what do they need to really worry about in the regular season? Because the playoffs are happening anyway, and I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, and that was always the thing, right? Jared was like, just get their healthy. And they never got their healthy.
They never did. Nope, never worked.
You know, and so, yeah, I mentioned Budenholzer. This does remind me of the Let It Fly Bucks, 43. So they're going to lose games when they miss them. They're going to blow teams out when they make 25 of them. But part of this too, remember in 23, JR, like they lost. So they won the finals, and then they're like, it doesn't matter about home court. Right. And so they lose game 7 in Boston, and it hurt. And so they're like, you know what? We want home court. And what they try to do? Win the one seed, right? They gave a crap about the regular season and wanted to win, right, all of those games. I'm not saying they didn't want to win a bunch, JR, these last 3 years, but there was an element of, let's win enough. Let's just get in 3-4, then we're good. We got all these dudes. I think there's you want to win. You want to win all the time as much as possible. And I think fans know what I'm saying when I say that. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see them try to do that at the start. And what does that look like? And how hard is it? How easy is it? And what does that result in? JR, we laugh about this all the time. you get 1, 2, 3 seeds by pounding the bad teams and playing hard in December, January, February, when other teams are like, oh, I don't want to do this. Because how often were the Bucks that hot team?
Yeah.
We got to load, man. We got to, like, you know, you'd always get fired up about that loss of the Hawks or the loss of the Wizards or the loss, right? Like,
that was a bad one of the Rockets, yeah.
And so, like, the Bucks are that team now, right? Like, they're the team that's got to play hard to beat the Knicks or to beat, let me think of a Western, like, you know, let's say LeBron's coming in. I mean, LeBron might miss that Bucks game early, right, with the Lakers.
Sure.
Whatever it may be. And so that's what I'm fascinated about. We haven't seen this really since the 18 season, JR, right? Like Bud's first year. Who are these guys? Who's Pat Connaughton? Who's Brooke Lopez? Like, what's Eric Bledsoe? Like, you know what I mean? And George Hill leads the league in 3-point shoot. Like, there's maybe a little parallel there to that. I'm not going to say, look, Giannis was ascending back then and, you know, whatever. I'm not saying this team's going to win 65 games. But maybe there's an element of that, of like, we got to play hard and let's win all the time. and that could work in their favor. Especially, look, man, you know, Jalen Suggs still hurt in Orlando. What does that look like? You know, Detroit had a 30-win improvement. They're not winning 70, JR. So winning 45 to 48 to 50, that's a hard leap for a team. What does that look like? You know, so – it's out there, man, and we'll just see how it shakes out.
I guess if I had a fearless prediction, it's that this works out really well for the Bucks because the East is down. The Bucks are in this middle ground where they have to work for it, like you were just describing. I think there's a good chance this is a really good season. Really good. You've got Giannis with maybe a tiny little bit to prove in terms of being in the MVP halo. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I mean, he's always top three in the MVP discussion, but like, I don't know. I could see this working out really, really well for the Bucks. I think Dairy Bird jerseys are going to go way through the roof as well. That would be my other prediction for the year 2025. The AJ Green Essence, I'm ready for that. So yeah, I think this is going to be a fun ride. It's always hard to get too excited for the regular season when this team has had so many opportunities in the playoffs, and it's sort of like, why do we care about that? Because the playoffs are where it matters, and then it's just, oh, they're hurt, they're done. So we'll see how this goes. Jim Ozarski, again, Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. Find everything that he has on the Milwaukee Bucks. October 22nd is when things get going. It's Chris Middleton. They probably will not raise his jersey to the rafters this time, but the Washington Wizards will be in town opening things up. Jim, thank you for joining me. We will chat again very soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon again. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and jsonline.com productions.